Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 17, Mother Parvati Curses Chitraketu, Text Number 11. Shri Parvati Uvacha, Ayam Kim Aduna Loke Shasta Danda Dara Prabho Asmat Vidanam Dushtanam Nilajanam Cha Viprakrit Shri Parvati Uvacha Ayam Kim Aduna Loke Shasta Danda Dara Prabhu Asmad Vidanam Dushtanam Nirjanam Chavi Nirlajanam Chavi Prakrit Ayam Kim Aduna Loke Shasta Danda Dara Prabhu Asmad Vidanam Dushtanam Nirlajanam Chavi Prakrit Shri Parvati Uvacha. The Goddess Parvati said, I am this, Kim, weather, Aduna, now, Loke, in the world, Shasta, the Supreme Controller, Dandadara, the carrier of the rod of chastisement, or punishment, Prabhu, the Master, Asmad Vidanam, a persons like us, Dushtanam, criminals, Nilajanam, who have no shame, Cha and Viprakrit, the restrainer. Translation: the Goddess Parvati said, alas, has this upstart now received a post for which to punish shameless persons like us? Has he been appointed ruler, carrier of the rod of chastisement? Is he now the only master of everything? Alas, Lord Brahma, who has taken his birth from the lotus flower, does not know the principles of religion, nor do the great saints like Bhrigu and Narada, nor the four Kumaras headed by Sanat Kumara, Manu and Kapila, have also forgotten the religious principles. I suppose it to be because of this that they have not tried to stop Lord Shiva from behaving improperly. This Chitraketu is the lowest of Kshatriyas, for he has impudently overridden Brahma and the other demigods by insulting Lord Shiva, upon whose lotus feet they always meditate. Lord Shiva is personified religion and the spiritual master of the entire world, and therefore Chitraketu must be punished. Purport: all the members of the assembly were exalted Brahmins and self-realized souls, but they did not say anything about the conduct of Lord Shiva, who is embracing the goddess Parvati on his lap. Chitraketu nonetheless criticized Lord Shiva, and therefore the opinion of Parvati was that he should be punished. This person is puffed up because of his achievements, thinking, I am the best. He does not deserve to approach the shelter of Lord Vishnu's lotus feet, which are worshipped by all saintly persons, for he is impudent, thinking himself greatly important. Purport: if a devotee thinks that he is very much advanced in devotional service, he is considered puffed up and unfit to sit beneath the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. Again, this instruction by Lord Chaitanya is applicable. Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sihishnuna amanina madadinena kitaniyaksadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself low in the straw on the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Unless one is humble and meek, one cannot qualify to sit at the lotus feet of the Lord. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvisesa Shunyavadi Paskatya Te Satarane. The Bhagavad Gita, it is said that Nirvana Moha Jita Sangha Dosha Adhyatma Nitya Vinivritta Kama. So this mana means mind, and nirmana means without the material mind. It says, Amadi Dvam Adambi Dvam Ahimsa Shanti Arjavam Acharya Upasanam Sosham Stiryam Atma Vinigraha. Those who are tired, they should stand up, because you can't blame it on the class. We haven't even started yet. So, Amadi Dvam means that one who's free from, one who's without false prestige, and false prestige comes from mana or moha, which is illusion. Due to illusion, we identify ourselves with this body, and therefore we take credit for what we're doing, or for whatever qualities we may have. Especially in Kali Yuga, as Prabhupada once said, every pauper is proud of his penny. Everyone is very much puffed up thinking that he's the greatest. And even one is saying, I am the most fallen, then he's within himself thinking, actually I'm the greatest because I am so humble. As I've heard one time, one devotee was saying, Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen. Whether it's true or not, I haven't looked it up in folio, but I heard Prabhupada say that if you're the most fallen, then you should try and do something about it. Another time when a devotee was saying, I'm the most fallen, Prabhupada said, you're not the most anything. The living entity says, klesha sata bhagasya. The living entity is 1/10,000th the size of a tip of hair in size. So if the living entity realizes his actual proportion, if you take one hair, which is, and then you take the tip of the hair, which is very hard to see, and you divide that up 10,000 times, that is the size of the living entity. So if we ourselves realize our actual size, we'd be very embarrassed because we are so tiny. But because we misidentify ourselves with this body suddenly, and our false ego, we become very much inflated, thinking that I am very important. So much is mine today. Ishvaraham aham bhogi saraham balavan sukhi. That why am I important? Because I have so many nice qualities, I'm so intelligent. And Ishvaraham, I am the controller of so many people, I'm controlling them. Aham bhogi, I'm enjoying so many things. Siddham, I have so many perfections. Balavan Sukhi, I'm so powerful. Sukhi, and I'm actually very happy. Adyam, Sto, that so much is mine. First of all, it says, I have gained so much today, and by my endeavor, by my prowess, I'll gain so much in the future. He is my enemy, and I have killed him, and my other enemy will also be killed. I am the Lord of everything. I am perfect, powerful, and happy. I am surrounded by rich, aristocratic relatives. I will give some charity. I will perform some sacrifice. And in this way, I will rejoice. And in this way, the demoniac are bewildered by ignorance. So these are the demoniac qualities, the mental understanding, who we think we are. But As we can see in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you shouldn't put your finger in your mouth. The pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he himself was coming simply to deliver the most fallen. The qualification was simply to becoming delivered, was not becoming a very important devotee, doing so many services for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was the attitude which is most important. For instance, as we mentioned before, when Raghunath Bhat was going to visit Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri, there was one, Ramdas. Day and night he was constantly chanting the name of Ram. And he was acting as a menial servant for Raghunath Bhat, carrying his baggage on his head, doing so many services. So when they arrived at Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw Raghunath Bhat, Goswami immediately embraced him as a great devotee of the Lord. But when he saw Ramdas, he didn't pay him any attention. Because Ramdas, although day and night he was chanting the name of Ram, but he was thinking that he was Ram. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew his heart that he was an impersonalist and did not give him very much attention. So similarly, it is not simply our service that we render, but it is our attitude of service. And here it mentions that one should do that service in an attitude of submission, helplessness, and humility. Because that is what Krishna appreciates. He wants that we come to the platform of Amanidan Madadanena. Realize, to come to this platform of realizing how Krishna is everything, Vasudeva Sarvam Iti. That all this is Krishna's energy, Krishna is in everyone's heart, etc. One has to be equally submissive to Krishna everywhere. Not that I surrender to Krishna in the deity form, but I don't think Krishna is anywhere else. At least, if things go nicely, then I appreciate Krishna, how nicely Krishna has arranged everything for me. And if things don't go so nicely, then I think, how dare he do these things? How is it possible that the Lord could put such an important personality as myself into a condition of distress? So this is an attitude, is not exactly the appropriate attitude. It says, Dukeshu Vavanagma Naksukeshu Vigatas Priha Vitaraga Bayakrodas Tita Dira Muna Uchite. That one who's not disturbed within his mind in spite of the threefold miseries, who's not elated when there is happiness, and who's freed from attachment and fear and anger, he's known as the sage of steady mind. One who doesn't take either happiness or distress, or honor or dishonor, or some kind of material position, whether it's comfortable or uncomfortable, as the goal of life, then he's said to be a perfectly fixed up devotee. That is, his real aim of life is to meditate upon Krishna with the aim of serving him under all conditions. Just like a soldier on the battlefield, he's not thinking, well, I'll serve the state as long as it doesn't become too dangerous, or as long as it doesn't rain and I don't get my feet muddied. No, he's serving the country in spite of all difficulty. Whether he wins the war or loses the war, then still he goes on with full determination trying to fight on behalf of the country. So similarly, a devotee, he knows that if there is difficulty, it is not by accident. It is on the basis of his past misdeeds, and that this difficulty is being minimized by Krishna to the greatest extent possible. And when he's put into a comfortable position, he knows it is only by the grace of the Lord, so he can serve the Lord better. But in any case, he goes on with full determination, knowing that he's not the body, and nor is he going to be subjected ultimately to the bodily situation. But his real situation is serving Krishna in spite of all good or bad occurrences. Therefore, he can remain fixed on the platform of Krishna consciousness because he doesn't become bewildered by his material circumstances. So in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially showed favor to such devotees. Shri Gauri Dai Kidai, Dagana Bhavada Ushimati Subhadi Devi Kidai. And he chastised those who were puffed up. Just like, for instance, for those who were puffed up, for example, those who were puffed up, there's one important devotee, Vallabha Bhattacharya, who is a great scholar. And he himself, he has his own disciples, part of his own disciple succession. So this Vallabha Bhatta was a great scholar, and one day he came and saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they had a very intimate discussions about Radha and Krishna's pastimes. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on his way to Vrindavan, then Vallabha Bhatta came in a boat and picked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu up to bring him to his house. So when he brought him to his house, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the river Jamuna, and it was blackish. So he immediately tried to jump into the water. As a matter of fact, he did jump into the water. He was rocking the boat, and all this water was coming into the water. All the water was coming into the boat because he was so ecstatically absorbed in thinking of Krishna when he saw the blackish water. So they had to restrain him, because otherwise the whole boat would have capsized. And when they arrived at Vallabha Bhatta's place, then Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami were there. And they, from a distance, they were offering respects. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciated their humility, and they were praising. They didn't want to come too near. So Vallabha Bhattacharya was saying, well, why are they so humble? Why are they taking such a humble attitude? And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, actually, they're fallen souls and they don't want to show disrespect to a great Brahmin such as yourself. So Vallabha Bhatta was thinking, but how is this possible? And he quoted the verse, Aho Bhatta Swapacho Tal Garyan Yajjiva Grave Artite Namatum Yam. Te pustapas arya namatum vyam. That if one chants the holy name of Krishna, then it's to be understood that he's already executed all kinds of sacrifices and austerities mentioned in the Vedas, taken bath in all the holy places, studied all the Vedas, etc. Even if he's born in the family of dog eaters. Aho bhatta swapato chol garyant. How wonderful it is that if one puts the holy name of Krishna upon his tongue, then he said to surpass all these Vedic injunctions. So Vallabha was quoting this sloka, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was pleased because he knew within himself that Vallabha Bhattacharya was a little proud of being born in a high class family, a high class Brahmin family, and being a great scholar. So later on, this Vallabha Bhattacharya, he came to Jagannath Puri when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there. And one day he told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that I've written a commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam and I'd like you to read it. And that this commentary surpasses the commentary of Sridhar Swami. Sridhar Swami is the original commentator on the Srimad Bhagavatam. He said, Sridhar Swami, he doesn't understand some of the intricacies of Srimad Bhagavatam, that he was wrong in some places. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, immediately he said that whoever doesn't accept the Swami is a prostitute. Because in India, the women, they address their husband as Swami. So he said that if you don't accept the Swami, then you're a prostitute. In other words, if he didn't accept the commentary of Sridhar Swami, if he thought he had written some commentary to surpass him, then his commentary was useless. So Vallabha Bhattacharya felt greatly disheartened, and every day he'd come into the assembly and he'd try to defeat the devotees there by arguments. And every day he'd wind up defeated. One day he came in and said, there's so many names of Krishna. So he said, I've written something about that. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I only know two names of Krishna. Nandanandana and Shyamasunda. Other than that, I don't know any name of Krishna. So Advaita Acharya and the other devotees, they defeat him every day. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they'd ridicule him and they'd laugh. And he felt very bad. And after some time, he's thinking about that. But previously, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has shown me great mercy. And now, every time I go into the assembly of Vaishnavas, they defeat me and ridicule me. So what has happened? And then he started to think that actually I must be puffed up. He said that just like Indra, he was shown mercy by Krishna when Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill and defeated his pride. So in the same way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the other Vaishnavas are trying to defeat my pride so that I won't be puffed up. And therefore, thinking like this, he went and surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So similarly, Krishna arranges life for his devotees so that he can become humble. Just like Haridas Thakur, he was given all kinds of mercy by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and one of his great qualifications was not only that he was Namacharya, always chanting the holy name, but he acted humble all the time. He, just like he was born in the family of Mohammedans, according to the, I think it's the Navadvipa Mahatmya, that previously he was Lord Brahma. And also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he called, said that you were Lord Brahma. That Lord Brahma had offended Krishna by stealing all his calves and cowherd boys and hiding them in a cave. So he felt very bad and he came and offered prayers to Krishna. So he was thinking, I'm such a rascal, I hope that Krishna puts me in a position where I won't make any more offense against him. So he took birth as Haridas Thakur in Navadvipa in the family of Mohammedans. And there, there was no need to be proud, because it's not a very high birth, especially in India. At that time, it wasn't considered the most exalted birth. But he was always chanting the holy name of Krishna, and he had great faith. But he underwent so many different problems, as we know. But he always remained very meek and humble. Just like one of the Zamindars complained, and they went to the Qazi, and they said, you are a Muslim. You've taken such a high birth, such an exalted birth, but now you're always chanting these names, and you're acting just like a Hindu. What has become you? Why are you degrading yourself in this way? So, Haridas Thakur said, well, you know, everyone has their religion, and I just have mine. You know, I just can't help it. So he said, you must change, you must stop this or else we'll have to punish you. And he said, I'm sorry, I can't change. I'm addicted to it. I'm hooked on the Hare Krishna movement. So he said, I'm sorry, we're going to have to punish you. So their punishment was rather strong punishment. They beat the person with canes for through all the marketplaces. And generally, after beating them, they'd survive one or two marketplaces, and then the person would die. So they start to beat. They took very strong men with whips and sticks and began to beat Haridas Thakur, dragging him through one marketplace after another. So Haridas Thakur continuously chanted the Hare Krishna mantra and prayed for the deliverance of his tormentors, those who were beating him. And then finally, when they reached the 22nd marketplaces, those who were beating him said, my dear Haridas Thakur, if you don't die soon, then the Qazi, he'll become very angry at us for not doing our duty, and he'll kill us. He'll beat us. So please die. So he said, oh, is that what you want? So he said, all right, no problem. So immediately he went into trance and became lifeless. So they thought, oh, so much for this Muslim, we're not going to even burn his body. This would be too degraded, although he's acting like a Hindu. We're not even going to bury him in the standard of the Muslims. So what we're going to do, we're just going to throw him into the river. So they threw him into the Ganges, what they thought was the dead body, and it floated down the Ganges sometime. And then afterwards, Haridas Thakur came out of his trance and came onto the land, started to chant, Gaurhari, Gaurhari, started to chant the holy names of Krishna. And then when the Kazi and the Zamindars, they heard about this, they became greatly shocked that he must be a great saint. Otherwise, how is it possible that these things are going on? In any case, they all came and begged forgiveness, and Haridas Thakur forgave them. Unfortunately, Krishna didn't completely forgive them. So their whole families, they were ruined, and all their families after that were all ruined for this offense against Haridas Thakur. But Haridas Thakur didn't take any offense at all. So a devotee, he always remains meek and humble. Even we have the example, Haridas Thakur was debating in the house of the Madhubadar, Haranyag, and Govardhan, Madhubadar. So they were the uncle and the father of Raghunath Das, of which today is the disappearance day, Raghunath Das. So they were debating about, they were discussing the holy name. And there was one, Gopala, what was his name? Maybe it's Gopala Chapala. That he was one of the tax collectors on the behalf of Haranya Madhubdar. So he was saying that, some people were saying that by chanting the holy name you can actually get liberation. You could actually become free from all sinful reactions. And when they asked Haridas Thakur, what is your opinion? He said, just by a dimly reflection, namabhas, of chanting the holy name, then one can at once get liberation. But that's not the actual effect of chanting the holy name. The real effect of chanting the holy name is to develop love for God. So when Gopala Chapala heard this, he stood up and said, this rascal, how can he say that? In the assembly of learned scholars. He said, great yogis and mystics and gyanis, they undergo great austerities for millions of years just to get a glimpse of liberation. And he's saying that liberation is insignificant. He said, if it's not true what he's saying, then I'll cut his nose off. So everyone became very greatly disturbed, and they immediately clasped their hands over their ears, and they left the assembly not to hear this blasphemy. So Haridas Thakur replied, he said, if it's not true what I'm saying, then I'll cut my own nose off. And then they all chastised Gopala Chapala, and they dismissed him from his service. And later on, Gopala Chapala, because of this offense against Haridas Thakur, he soon developed leprosy, and his beautiful hands and nose melted away. But at the same time, we find that Haridas Thakur, his life is exemplary for being humble. Just like when the Ramachandra Khan, he sent one prostitute to seduce Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur very humbly accepted her and kept on chanting the holy name. And then finally he converted the prostitute into a devotee of Krishna by chanting. And she sat before the Tulsi plant and gave all her goods, all her possessions and charity to the Brahmins and Vaishnavas and chanted the holy name. But Haridas Thakur, his attitude is that this Ramachandra Khan, he's simply foolish and unintelligent. He didn't take him very seriously. So this is the devotee. He's so fixed in chanting Hare Krishna, he's so fixed in service to Krishna, that even if there's some disturbance, he doesn't take it very seriously. He knows that Krishna has some plan behind it, and therefore he goes on with his service. So it says one has to be tolerant. So without tolerance, without seeing things from the point of view of Krishna consciousness, then one won't be tolerant. But if one can see things in the perspective of Krishna consciousness, then he can tolerate all kinds of disturbances. Knowing very well, tatenu kampam susamikshamano bhunjana evatma kritam vipakam, that is not by accident, it is on the basis, is what part of the cause at least, is one's past misdeeds. And even if it's not, somehow or another it is all an arrangement of Krishna, and that one should be tolerant and go on with his devotional service. And one should offer respects to others, knowing very well that Paramatma is in everyone's heart, and that the real cause behind everything is Paramatma. Therefore, he should get all credit. And in this way, Kirtani Yaksidahari, one can go on associating with Krishna. But if one becomes puffed up or intolerant, then at once one will forget Krishna, one will lose his association with Krishna. So Mother Parvati is explaining this here, that somehow or another Chitraketu appears to be puffed up and impudent and is going to get some chastisement from Mother Parvati. So just to say a few words about the appearance day of some of these acharyas, I guess they're all disappearances. First one was an appearance. What? Vishnu Priya, Raghunath Das, and Pundarik Vidyanidhi were disappearances. And who was, what was Vishant? Today's spring, if you haven't noticed. At least in India, it's spring. Saraswati Puja. Oh, the appearance of Vishnu Priya. So Vishnu Priya, she was the wife of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. She was that incarnation of the goddess of fortune. After the disappearance, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and left, she'd chant around and then put a grain of rice aside. And after chanting all these rounds and putting a grain of rice aside, then she cooked that rice, and that's what she would eat for the day. A little hard to imitate. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, his disappearance day. And so Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is one of the important commentators on the Srimad Bhagavatam. He's written books such as Madhurya Kandambini and others, Aishwarya Kandambini, which explain about the process, the development of devotional service. Aishwarya Kandambini is it defeats Mayavadi philosophy. And he's one of the most important commentators on the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he was an incarnation of Vishubhanu Maharaj in Krishna's pastimes. Vishubhanu Maharaj was the father of Mother Srimati Radharani. One day Gadadhar Pandit went with another great devotee. Does anyone remember who was that other devotee he went with? Maybe Mukunda, yeah. Because when they went to visit, Gadadhar Pandit heard from Mukunda that Pundarik Vidyanidhi is actually a great devotee. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one day he started to cry out the name of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, and everyone was very surprised because they never heard of him before. In any case, they went to visit him. Mukunda was exclaiming the glories of Pundarik. And when they got to his house, Pundarik Vidyanidhi was very, very wealthy. And he was sitting on his silken bed with a silken turban on his head. All his hair was very nicely decorated and dressed in oil. He was sitting there with a hookah, and he was smoking on a hookah. Surrounded by servants, very opulent food. So within the Gadadhar Pandit's mind thought, and this is a great devotee? So Mukunda, understanding his mind, began to sing a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, explaining that how great my Supreme Lord is. That Putana has come to him, trying to kill him by smearing her breast with poison. But Krishna has sucked that poison from her breast and given her the same position as Mother Jasoda. How wonderful. Who could be more wonderful than my Lord Krishna? So when Pundarik Vidyanidhi heard this voice, these verses, at once his heart melted and he began to roll on the ground in ecstasy. And his hands were flying everywhere and he broke the hookah and everything started to fly. The bed crumbled and then Gadadhar Pandit realized that although externally he's acting as a puffed up materialist, but actually this is just to show that actually he's a great devotee, always thinking of Krishna in spontaneous love. So later on, he took initiation from Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Gadadhar Pandit. and Raghunanda Thakur, his appearance. So I don't know who is Raghunanda. He was a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who used to come to the Rath Yatra festival, but I don't know much more about him. I think Raghunandana. He was the son of Mukunda, I believe, and he was in spontaneous love for Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Mukunda that actually Raghunandana is superior to you because he has spontaneous affection for the Lord while you worship the Lord and are in reverence. So Mukunda said, from this day on, then Raghunanda is now my father and I become his son. And the last one is Raghunath Das Goswami, who is the son of, as we said, Govardhan, and his uncle is Haranya Majubdara, tax collectors, born a very wealthy family. By today's comparison, probably said they're earning millions and millions of dollars every year. But he was a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and when he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he at once wanted to go with him to Jagannath Puri, but his father and mother forbade him, and even when he tried to go, they'd always capture him and bring him back. Therefore, his mother said, well, why don't we just tie him up with ropes? That would be a lot easier. That way he won't be able to escape. So his father said, but we've already given him a wife which is more beautiful than the goddess of fortune, and he has unlimited riches, greater than that of Indra, the king of heaven. So what could be stronger ropes than these? Other ropes wouldn't be very significant. So one day he escaped, and he wanted to, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, don't become like a madman. Just remain peacefully at home, and one day you'll get the opportunity to see me. So he started to act normally, and then because he was acting normally, therefore they slackened their guard on him. And then one day he went to see Lord Nityananda, and he approached Lord Nityananda, who was nearby, and offered reverence to him. And Lord Nityananda told his men to bring him here, that there's a thief over there, so bring him. So they brought Raghunath Das before Lord Nityananda, who put his lotus feet on his head. And he said, now, because you're a thief, therefore you must pay some penalty. And then they had the Panihati, the chip rice festival, where Raghunath paid for feeding all the Vaishnavas chipped rice soaked in yogurt and chipped rice soaked in condensed milk. And they fed all the Vaishnavas. So many Vaishnavas came with their, even the merchants came with their wares to sell yogurt and chipped rice and condensed milk and chipped rice. And Raghunath bought all these their wares and fed them with the same chipped rice and yogurt and milk. So many devotees came that the whole area filled up, and some of the Brahmins and some of the devotees, they had to take the prasadam in the Ganges because there's no more room on the shore. Standing in the Ganges. And then he was blessed by Lord Nityananda that soon you attain the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then by some arrangement one night, his spiritual master, Yadunandana Thakura, came there telling Raghunath Das that there's one of my pujaris, he's having difficulty, so please come and preach to him. Even then they had problems with the pujaris sometimes. So he went and he said, all right, I'll go with him. But he left and he took the road to Jagannath Puri and came to be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so he stayed at Jagannath Puri, and his father sent some men, after hearing about it, with some money so that he could be nicely taken care of. So he was, with that money, he was inviting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to take prasadam with him every month. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not so, Raghunath Das decided it would be better not to accept this money because it is coming from materialists, and therefore he stopped inviting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asking his servant, his secretary, Srup Damodar, why isn't Raghunath inviting me anymore? Because Raghunath was put under the guidance of Srup Damodar. So he said, because he doesn't want to accept money from his parents anymore, thinking that this is actually coming from materialists and it'll contaminate his mind. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased. So he said, where is he taking prasadam? He said, well, every day he stands in front of the gate, the Singha Dwara gate, and the pujaris, when they pass by, or when people pass by, he begs some alms from them. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was pleased with this. But then one day he saw that Raghunath is not there anymore, so he said, where is he? What happened? So he said that he was thinking that this is just like a prostitute. He said, here I'm standing here begging alms from someone, and today they're coming, and I'm thinking, well, yesterday he gave me, maybe he should give me again today. And here's this rascal who's coming by, he never gives. So he decided he wouldn't do that anymore. So ultimately, what he was doing, he was taking in India, they cooked, the householders would cook some rice, and then what was left over they put aside, and when it would go bad, they'd feed it outside to feed it to the cows. So Raghunath would go and collect the rice that was rejected by the cows, because even the cows, they have some discrimination. If it goes bad, then they don't eat it. So they take that rice and go to the Ganges, and he'd wash the rice off and eat the hard kernel that was left over. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased when he heard this, and one day he went to Raghunath Das and said, my dear Raghunath Das, he said, I heard that you're having a feast every day, and you're not inviting me? What kind of greedy person are you? So Raghunath Das said, no, I'm not having a feast. He said, no, let me take some of that. So then he took some of Raghunath Das's prasadam, and is greatly satisfied, just to encourage Raghunath Das in his austerities. So ultimately, Raghunath Das lived for a very long time. He was very old, but he's one of the six Goswamis, and he was always absorbed in the meditation, Krishna's transcendental pastimes, in Vrindavan, as one of the manjaris. He's one of the principal manjaris in Krishna's pastimes. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him some gunja mala, and he gave him one chalagram shila to worship. And he'd offer different types of preparations, and this shila that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him was kind of worn down, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tears were always moistening the shila, and after a while the shila became very smooth due to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tears always wetting it. So he's given that in gunjamala, which signified, so the Govardhan Shila was a Govardhan Shila that signified Govardhan Hill, and the Gunjamala signified Srimati Radharani. That's a flower one finds in, that's very dear to Srimati Radharani. So in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu encouraged him in his service, and under the guidance of Srup Damodar, he served Krishna day and night, meditating upon his transcendental pastimes in Vrindavan. So he's exemplary for his austerities that he undertook and his deep meditation upon Krishna. It says that his service was so regulated that it was as steady as the lines drawn in rock. So I think we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yeah, of course. He took the advantage of going to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arranged him that he should come at that particular time so he could leave at that particular time. I'm sure Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered his spiritual master to preach to the pujari. And even if the pujari didn't do his service that day, still, I'm sure the deity is quite satisfied that at least he got another, that Raghunath Das was able to go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yeah. that's it. The sincerity is the, well, there's a part that deals with that Krishna can be served simply by sincerity. I can't remember the chapter either. It says that one can serve Krishna even within his mind, even if he can't execute devotional service physically, that one can actually execute, one gets credit for devotional service if he just appreciates another devotee's service, because of sincerity that Krishna takes into account. Well, 24 hours a day he was engaged in service to Krishna. And every day he worshipped his Srila, for instance, Govardhan Srila, and he never missed his service. Just like one time, there was one lady in Vrindavan at Radha Damodar, and every day she brought water for the Tulsi plants. And Prabhupada said she'll go back to Godhead for that. Because whether it was rain or shine or snow or sleet, she'd just bring the water for Tulsi. So that steadiness of executing service, no matter what the inconvenience, that's what's being talked about there. He chanted his rounds, just like Haridas Thakur chanted his rounds, 190 something rounds every day without fail. He didn't have to catch up on any of his rounds. Could you imagine if he missed for a week, how many rounds he'd have to catch up? But every day he chanted his rounds. He had a vow to chant, I think, billion names a month. He's chanting 300 and something thousand every day. So times 30 is a billion, I guess. Or 10 million, I can't. 10 million around, 10 million names of Krishna a month. Quite steady. Anything else? Well, by jnana chakshus, by hearing, by trying to understand things properly in the right perspective, then naturally we become humble. If we think that I'm only 1/10,000th the size of tip of hair in size, that's at least the beginning. And when we hear about how wonderful Krishna is, how wonderful Krishna's devotees are, then naturally we should feel a little humble. When we hear about Raghunath Das, his austerities and his devotion, or Haridas Thakur, then naturally we'll feel a little humble in comparison. And if we don't, then the material energy is there to help us become a little humble. In any case, by proper understanding, because naturally our position is quite humble, and if we execute devotional service, then that quality will come too. If we try to understand things properly and execute devotional service, then all the good qualities will develop, beginning with humility. But as soon as we become puffed up, as soon as our mind tries to think, oh, you're great, you're actually the master of everything, you're actually making progress, you're getting so many things, then one should be very cautious of becoming attached to such ideas and try to give them up, realizing that this is simply the illusory energy which is speaking to me. So one should not accept illusory understandings of things. One should accept the real understanding of things. Yes, it's by the grace of my spiritual master in Krishna, the other Vaishnavas, that I'm making any progress at all. That actually I have no good quality, but somehow or another, by following the instructions of my spiritual master in Krishna and the devotees, then they're dragging me back to the spiritual world. But other than that, I have no good quality. If I have any good quality, simply by their mercy. Yes. You should do what the devotees want you to do. One should become an instrument in the hands of Krishna and the devotees. One should become their servant. Yes. Yeah, of course, it's a pastime. He's not. When you see Sankarshan face to face, when you travel around for millions of years chanting the glories of the Lord, you become quite advanced in devotional service. So these are different perspectives that are being. After all, Mother Parvati, she's acting as Krishna's instrument. So unless it was pointed out here that he had become a little proud, because even if he became a little proud, he was proud of Sankarshan. He wasn't personally so proud. If he was doing anything, he was doing it simply as a service to to the Lord. But just to, so that Mother Parvati gets some credit, not that she just acted whimsically. Therefore, there must be some reason why she did it. But actually, he wasn't really proud. If he was proud, he was proud of Krishna. And you're allowed to be proud of Krishna, at least. Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.